brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
To show up day in and day out on a consistent basis to do what you're called to do and then be who you're called to be.
Second grader, fourth grader, sixth grader, I'm going to go. But you want, when they go to the games on Friday, to dream about playing for you.
Just dudes doing football.
Just dudes doing football. See, now that's a t-shirt. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, penultimate edition for 2025. And that gets a boo, I think, from both Nick and Nellie.
What?
Penultimate. Next to last.
Oh. What?
Penultimate. Next to last. The penultimate.
Okay. But
yeah.
Glass half full, though.
Yes.
It's going to be a great show.
Yes.
We've got the championships on deck, but we got to get through Thursday first.
Yes, we do. And it is going to be a fantastic game at Barron's Stadium. First time that we've been up there in a while. We had, the last time we were there, I think we set the record for most points scored in a Football Fridays in Georgia game with Carrollton and Rome.
How many points?
I think it was like 124.
That's a lot of points.
Like 65-59 or something like that.
Carrollton's been doing that this year.
Yes. And so with that offense they had and with Rome's offense that they had, it was back and forth. And I don't think we got home until about 2 o'clock in the morning. That is why I have booked a hotel room for after the game is over, because it's 27 degrees. That's going to be the low, and I'm heading straight to the hotel room so I can take a hot shower when we're done.
Well, good for you. I'll be watching from the comforts of my couch.
Yes, where it is not 27
underneath my
degrees.
Christmas tree with my heated blanket, probably some hot tea,
mm-hmm.
nerd clusters. Watching on the television.
Yes,
we put out a great product, so I'm not going to miss it.
No. So it's going to be fun. Last week, it was our last studio show, but it once again reinforced that why Carrollton is one of the top teams in the country, top team in some polls, dominant performance over North Gwinnett.
Yeah. So John and I were talking about this in studio. I mean, last year they were good.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great offense. This year's better.
They're good.
I mean, they're real good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Utilizing those two quarterbacks. I mean, we've said Cam Wood a million times already this season, mm-hmm. but he just continues to show up and dominate. Before the show, I even asked John, I said, over under 3 touchdowns. John said under, and I just put it out there into the universe. I was like, he's going to grab 2, and he grabbed 2.
Yeah, so I figured
yeah.
2.5 would be the number, and we said 2.
But yes, their offense is great.
Balance.
However,
uh-huh.
Carrollton's defense, mm-hmm. remember the audible gasp mm-hmm. when we saw the first half stats
yeah.
that North Gwinnett offense was held to 57 yards?
Yeah. That is a number that was shocking.
Shocking.
And so just rolling all the way through, and Carrollton has made their way to the last game of the year.
Yeah.
And they're going to be taking on, I don't know if you've heard of this team, but they're going to be taking on Buford.
Ooh. I cannot believe that I haven't covered a Buford game all year.
I know. It's been crazy. We've seen them a couple of times on GPB with games against Douglas County.
Yeah.
And so in Collins Hill as well. So it's been fun to see these matchups all season long, and can't wait for that 6A final, which is going to be Tuesday.
Yeah.
So public service announcement. We will not be here in our normal time slot next week because we're going to kind of be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
So we'll get back to the Benz in
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah.
But this 6A final, I'm like so jazzed about it. Number one, I don't think people understand the pedigree and the quality of football that comes out of the state of Georgia when it comes to high school football. So with Buford and this Buford Carrollton matchup, Ooh. It excites me because of course Carrollton was there the past 3 years?
Efforting.
Trying to win one.
Yeah.
Like this is their year. But then you have a team like Buford
mm-hmm.
that has gone to 19 state titles,
Crazy.
Finals appearances since like 2000. They've won, 13, 14 championships? But they haven't won a 6A title since 2021.
3 of the last 4 they've appeared in the finals,
right.
meaning Carrollton.
So like both of these teams are so hungry.
Mm-hmm. And cannot wait for that one. And remember,
that's Wednesday night.
It's Tuesday.
Remember, Tuesday night, flipped. That's
because,
right.
And the reason it's flipped
Yes.
is the two coaches that we have on today.
They need an extra day.
Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 5A title game and the 6A title game have flipped. And it is because of all of the stuff that happened previous
mm-hmm.
with if you remember, you were with us last week with Dr. Tim Scott, the executive director of the Georgia High School Association, where we broke down everything and you had you had legal wrangling going, dating all the way back to what was going on with Gainesville and Brunswick. And so everything that started from there, went with the GHSA, went into the courts. Then it was just settled with the GHSA in Gainesville that all the suspensions were wiped away. And so then they had to come up with the schedule to figure out, okay, so how do we get everybody back online? Thomas County Central and Roswell, they were in a holding pattern. And so they were not allowed to figure out who was going to advance. And so the GHSA wanted competitive balance when it came to scheduling. So Thomas County Central and Roswell and Gainesville and Rome, they are going to be both on Thursday.
Right.
And so we caught up with the game that we're going to have with Gainesville and Rome. So I tried to do a Cliff's Notes version of something that's not very Cliff's Notes-y.
Mm-hmm.
Is that close?
It was close. Yeah. Well, I think because, so much time has passed news cycle wise, right? Mm-hmm. Like in our world, it's 24 hours news cycle. But so now it's been probably 10 days or so and a lot has changed.
Yes.
But the good news is that football is happening Thursday. Roswell has to travel to Thomas County Central 249 miles.
So you did the math on that one.
I did the math on that one. And I'm curious if Coach Thompson, he knows Justin well. I'm curious if he's going to pack any vuvuzelas.
Yeah. Well,
just put some in the bag.
I was wondering if he was going to use them at practice.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. Instead of pumping in game noise, you're going to pump in the zzzz.
Uh-huh. The buzzing of the vuvuzelas.
The buzzing.
Yes. And so that's going to be on Thursday. We're going to keep an eye on that one at the same time that we're going to have our game. As the 5A semifinals get to be decided on Thursday. And first up, the coach at the center of it all, Gainesville head coach Josh Niblett.
All right, Coach, first and foremost, thanks as always for joining us. I feel like he was with us, week one, maybe?
It was a couple weeks. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So we know that given the circumstances over the past 2 weeks, your team has faced a lot of adversity. Distractions, if you will. How has your team maybe refocused, if you will, mentally, emotionally, to get you guys ready for the semifinal game Friday?
First of all, thanks for having me on. Second of all, to God be the glory to get to wake up today and be able to get to do what I get to do every day. The last couple of weeks. Yeah, but I think our biggest thing is our motto for the playoffs starting in round one was lock in, lock out, lock in the things that matter, lock out the things that don't matter. You know, stay focused on what we can't control. Don't worry about the things we can't control. And there for a time, there were some things that we couldn't control. And then I think our kids just did a really good job of staying focused. And our kids are really connected. And our staff is really connected to our players. So even the week that we didn't play and we had Thanksgiving, I mean, there was a lot to be thankful for that our kids were extremely thankful for. And then we turn around and, you know, we find out that next Monday, which was last Monday a week ago, that we're going to play the game on Friday. So once we kind of got that normal schedule set and we could get into game week, and I think it just settled everybody down.
So when you are in a playoff run, I know that not every win is 100% perfect and not every loss is an absolute zero, whether it's regular season or what. So what do you think you learned about your team going on the road, getting the win that you did? What was there to work on after a big win like that?
Well, there's a lot to work on. But, I mean, I just think when you're in the playoffs, it's all about winning. It's just scoring one more point. You know, there's no such thing as style points. It doesn't matter about stats. The only stat that matters is to be 1-0 when it's over with. So, you know, I was proud of our players because when you come off a bye week and then, you know, we just came off after the first two rounds. We had three bye weeks before the first round of the playoffs. So you worry about being a little bit rusty. But, you know, we get the turnover on the first drive and then we score on the first play of the game to kind of set the tone. We go down 13-6. We go down 13 and then we come back and then we score 21 unanswered points. To go up at halftime. Then we came out, started the second half, and went down and scored on the first drive. And then, you know, I think at the end of the game, it was more about managing the game. And, you know, I think our kids did what we had to do to give ourselves an opportunity to win. And we tried to keep everything where we were two scores ahead until the end when they scored. And then we got the onside kick, and then we had victory. But I think the biggest thing I learned from my group was just how our guys just stayed locked in and focused, because it's not an easy place to play. You know, it's not an easy place to get to from your locker room. You got to walk a long way to get all the way around to get into the field. You have to make a decision whether you want to stay in or out at halftime. We stayed out, but our kids didn't have anywhere to sit. So now you're trying to find a bench, anything you can find. And I just, the perseverance that our kids had, we got tough kids, and we got kids that, you know, they deal with chaos at times in life. And I think what they were able to do is stick together. Let's follow the plan no matter the circumstance. And our kids did that.
Coach, it sounds like your team is high on perseverance. That's a big part of their identity. You're traveling again. You're going to Rome, right? So on the football side of things, how do you feel like, with everything that your team has been through, how do you have a football edge going into Rome to keep this going after the win this past Friday night?
Well, you just have to talk to your guys about what you feel like your edge is. You know, it's not about, you know, what everybody outside of our building thinks mm-hmm. is an edge or not an edge. You know, I mean, we feel like it's an edge for us that we just got through playing last Friday. And so we get an opportunity to get back on the field. And the other thing is like, you know, it's a short week, but, you know, by this time of the year, I mean, our biggest thing is we took Saturday and Sunday off because I felt like our kids needed to recover. You know, we'll go out in helmets today. We had a little install meeting this morning before school, walk through, and then we'll have a work day tomorrow, and then we'll walk through on Wednesday. I mean, at this point in time, it's about being healthy. It's about mm-hmm. being mentally sharp. If we're not physical by now, we're not going to be physical Friday or Thursday. So, yeah, I think our edge is our guys love going on the road. Defense travels, run game travels, those things you got to travel this week. And we feel like we've played a tough schedule. We know they've played a tough schedule. Our kids respect and understand what we're going into and who we're playing. And I think that's the biggest edge you can have, is the respect that you have for your opponent.
So then how far back into the Wayback Machine do you go when you're looking at an opponent like Rome and what John Reed has done? I mean, do you go back to, and I'm being facetious a little bit, do you go back to Alcoa, Tennessee and look for tendencies? Or how far back do you go when you're looking at an opponent this deep into the season?
Well, first of all, John's an excellent coach, been around, and, you know, I think John's going to do what John's going to do. They have a brand of football that they want to play, a brand of defense that they want to play. I think offensively they adjust to their athletes, and this year they got two really good receivers and a specially talented quarterback, and they're allowing those guys to make sure they get their touches and get their opportunities. They do an extremely great job of trying to put you in a predicament from a defensive perspective with the one-plus runs with the quarterback, but also getting the ball out on the perimeter. And then defensively, they want to play a physical brand of football where they make everything spit out to the perimeter and they use their speed to tackle you. And then they're explosive when you got really good athletes on special teams. So, you know, he does a really good job of making his kids understand what their culture is about, and they play with that same edge. When you're watching the season, I mean, you can go back and watch 2018. I think you can go back and watch 2022. You can go back and watch 2 years ago when they, you know, played in the, played Rome in the playoffs. TCC did. You can look at all kinds of different things. You're still going to see the same brand. There's things that they're going to change and do based off of what we give them. But I think they're going to be who they are because they know who they want to be.
Coach, you just mentioned the word brand, and I know that, you know, your team has been in the news cycle, if you will, the past 2 weeks. And some people might, you know, you might be reading about yourself going, no, they didn't get this right. How would you describe your brand of Gainesville football for maybe the people out there that have seen your name, seen your team's name, but they might not really know what Gainesville's about?
I think the biggest thing for us is, like, I mean, our brand is we want to be connected. We want to be connected to each other. We want to be connected to the game, be connected to our culture, be connected to the expectations that are reasonable that we put on ourselves. We don't care what everybody else thinks outside this building because we can't control them. And I think within our program, I mean, we have two things that we talk about all the time in standard. You know, number one is the standard, and our standard is, can we wake up every day and serve people? Do we have substance about who we are? And then do we live a life of significance? It's not about success, not about survival. And then there's a process in which we take that standard to another level. And that's number one, it's people. We come in this building, you're going to be You're going to be represented by people. You're going to be greeted by people. You're going to play with people. You're going to go to school with people. So people's a big part of what we do. And then a purpose. Everybody mm-hmm. has a plan till you get hit in the mouth, and that kind of changes. We don't care about the plan. We care about our purpose and our why of what we're doing, because the plan will change. And then the last thing is, can I wake up every day with a passion, be on fire for what I get to do as far as giving a better version of myself to help this mm-hmm. program become what it needs to become? And so that's our brand. We want to play a physical style of football. We want to play fast. And we want to make sure that we play together and play as one. When adversity hits, we don't flinch, we don't fret. We try to play our game and continue to stay locked in on what we do.
Right. I was going to ask real quick, John, given the past few weeks of what we were just talking about, how do you think that circumstance that you guys worked through together furthered your ultimate purpose? How would you say that it furthered the purpose that you guys cemented, maybe, or something that you installed at the beginning of the season or before in the off season, or maybe a few years ago when you got here? How would you say that purpose got cemented?
Well, for me personally, mm-hmm. I'm a spiritual guy. So, I just feel like, for one, it starts a good work in you. He's going to finish a good work in you. And that's what my faith is every day. That's what I put my trust in. And I told our players, look, last January, when we all got together and our mindsets every week, our heart sets and mm-hmm. our guys holding each other accountable, I told our guys, like, you have to savor opportunities to handle adversity. Mm-hmm. And when you get those moments, you either learn from them or you come up with these excuses and run away from them. And we want that smoke. So we don't care. Like, that's part of who we are. And what we talk about is this. And we talked about it last week and the week before. Look, rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that, not that you're going through a circumstance, but rejoice in the fact that you're connected to brothers who have the same courage you have to face the situation. That's what you can rejoice in. You don't have to rejoice in the fact that you like going through adversity, but you do need to rejoice in the fact that you have people that care about you, love you, and are in it with you, that have the same courage you have to make sure you show up day in and day out on a consistent basis to do what you're called to do and then be who you're called to be.
I know that you find probably an extra 4 or 5 hours a day to do things that the rest of us don't. I think that it's safe to say, Josh, that you have like the 29-hour day. And I know that you used to read a lot. How deep a reader are you still?
I'm going to be honest with you. For me, it's more my reading during the season is, I'm not just saying this, but it's more my Bible. It's my devotional book. It's my journal during the season. I'm so locked in on that I don't want to choke out my spiritual walk and what I do spiritually. But, once the season's over, I'll find another book that I want to read that I feel like it's going to help me. I'm not one of those that reads the book that everybody goes, man, if it's not going to help me and help our program and help me grow individually, I'm not going to read it. And so for me right now, I don't have a whole lot of books that I read right now besides my journal and my Bible. That's about it right now.
So I
know that's probably didn't give you what you wanted to hear.
It leads into my question. So then, going into this season, what was the last book that you read that resonated with you that has helped you in this season with everything that you've navigated to this point?
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody has, had an opportunity to, be a part of the 7 Habits of a Committed Team. I read that during the summer, and actually it's written by John Gordon. And I actually got to talk to John Gordon about the book. He called me and we had a mutual friend. He gave him my number and I didn't ever think he would call me, and he did. So we got to talk. And during the summer, we did all of these activities that were actually in that book. Our staff did a staff read. I bought the book, The Program. If you've never read it, you need to. And it's kind of a military basis book, just on the tactical things that it takes to be a team from a military perspective. We did that and we took that with our kids in the off season. And then I read a book also called Find Your Red Thread. And I don't know if you've ever read that, but if you hadn't, you need to. That's the reason most of our guys have a red thread in their journal. Because, when you're talking about those kind of things, and this has been big for us here lately, back in the time there was these warriors, and they would have to go through this maze to take on this beast. And when they would go through the maze, they would get to the beast, but most guys couldn't get out of the cave, or they couldn't beat the beast. But when they beat the beast, they couldn't get back through the maze. When there was one warrior that decided that he would take a piece of red thread and he would lay it down as he went through the maze. So he'd have red thread in one hand and a weapon in the other, because he wanted to make sure that when he won, he knew how to get back where he started.
See, that was one of the off the wall questions.
I don't know if it was too off the wall. That was a good
one.
Yeah,
that wasn't. I'm a little disappointed.
Dude, yeah. Well, okay. All right. Let's line it up.
Oh, don't let him loose, Josh.
All right. So let him loose. All right. So we'll line it up. Rapid fire. All right. So
easy.
With matchup problems these days, offensively and defensively, you have those H backs that are, 6'5", 6'6". If you have a defensive back that is in that matchup against that H back, are you confident enough in your 5'9 defensive back going up against that 6'6 wideout to where they can handle that 1v1 matchup? Or are you trying to figure out how to gain an advantage the other way? So wait for help, or trust that solo matchup when it comes to a big matchup problem, like 6'6 say, against 5'9, say?
Well, I think the biggest thing on that is you can't give them the same thing. I mean, I think you got to mix it up. Because it's not just about the receiver as much as it is about the quarterback, but it's about, do you give him a free release? Do you not give him a free release? Do you challenge him at the line of scrimmage and give him help over the top? Do you challenge him at the line of scrimmage and then all of a sudden fade, get out and get in phase? I think that's the key, is you got to give a bunch of different looks. You can't give the same look over and over again. And for me, we're going to know our strengths. We're going to know our deficiencies. We're going to know our matchups. And we're going to make sure we put our kids in the best situation we can so they can be successful.
Okay. So second one, since I asked the other one before we started, this is my last question. How much of Hattiesburg Hollywood is still in you right now?
Wow. Well, look. My hair, I want you to understand this. I grew my hair out about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Okay. I've always had like this skin fade. And this is the first time my hair's been this long since the Hollywood Southern Miss days. So it's been a while. I hadn't had a lot of people call me Hollywood in a long time. But that brought back an old memory for sure.
Leave it to John. I thought he was going to ask you what your cheat meal was. I don't know. That's where he was going with it.
So then what is the cheat meal on Saturday?
Well, Mellow Mushroom.
Attaboy.
Right? Well, in the morning, I go to Long Street, and I eat about as much breakfast as you can put on a plate, and it always includes pancakes. Don't eat a lot for lunch. Eat a little fruit for lunch, just because I'm setting up for the night, and I'm either eating a hamburger and fries, or I'm eating Mellow Mushroom, and the go-to pizza is a large pizza, half mushroom shiitake, and half Super Pep.
There you go. Do you get the pretzel bites, Coach?
Oh, yes. That with spicy beer cheese.
They're so good.
See?
Do you eat candy? Do you eat candy?
No, I don't. My favorite go-to candy, my wife gives me M&M peanuts on game day.
There you go.
Family size.
Listen, I love that. You can tell a lot about a person by their go-to candy.
Yep.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, you can.
All
you
right.
can.
So now that I know what I'm picking up on the drive up.
I know. I'm not the sideline reporter for this game. I'm sad about it. I'll hang out with you at halftime, but I would totally have that.
Yeah, it's me.
In my own bag.
Yeah, you're stuck with me, Josh.
Well, I love you too, bro.
As always, it's great to catch up with you because we're really looking forward to the matchup here Thursday night in Rome. It's going to be a classic, Gainesville and Rome. Thanks for hanging out with us and going off the wall a bit. We really appreciate your time.
Can I tell you a unique thing about this game?
Hit me.
This is pretty cool. My son plays at Shorter, so they play their home games at Barron Stadium.
Yeah,
oh,
so
that's cool.
The last 2 years on Saturdays, I've just never been on the visitor side. I've always been on the home side. My wife made that abundantly clear the other night, so I told her she's going to have to move to the other side. But I think that's pretty cool. And my son's having finals, so he's coming home, but yet – he could have just stayed there for the game. He'll come home and ride the bus. I thought that was pretty cool. That I would have never thought I'd be on the field. But thank y'all for everything you do and how you promote this game. But most of all, how you promote these young people in our programs. But God bless you guys, and go Big Red. And if I don't get to talk to you again, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
So now to the home side of things, and we get to find out what's on the mind for John Reed. John Reed has made a lot of runs to the postseason, a lot of deep runs to the postseason. He's even been a back-to-back champ with Rome, with the current QB coach, I think, at Sam Houston State, and that's Bearcats with a K in Huntsville, Texas. But let's find out what's going to happen in Rome this week with the man who's in charge of the Rome Wolves, John Reed.
Coach, let's just get right into it. First of all, thanks so much for joining us. I know that you are probably at this point ready to play some football. How has the delay impacted your team? And are you ready to play Thursday night or what?
Yeah, I hope we are. I mean, we will be ready. I just hope we're good enough. That's always the question. You know, I think there's something that needs to be addressed. This is the fourth bye week. And regardless, there still would have been a bye week. You know, there's still a big time frame between the state championship. And so with regular season and the week before the playoffs, it gets to be really long. But here's the thing. I am not complaining, but I'm in the Final Four. And I get to talk to you guys in December, which is good for us.
Woo!
So what did you learn in the Jackson County game that you're bringing forward as a part of this dossier of information that's going to get you ready for the semifinal?
You know, with the high school football team, you just never know what you're going to get. I didn't think we came out of the gate very well. We made some mistakes and didn't play very well on special teams. And so what I learned from that is that I told our kids, if it happens again, you're just going to get a Final Four patch for your jacket. So we got to fix those things. But that's what you do, you know, and you advance and you find a way to get better.
Coach, you probably had a lot of time to watch and see how either Gainesville got better or maybe not. What was your take on, if you will, that game that they had against Hughes?
You know, the dilemma there, Nikki, is that, you know, we're sitting there and we really don't know. You got the number one team in the state undefeated, and so we didn't really know who to prepare for with that time off.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is try to find common things that they did that we could teach that wouldn't be have to unteach something or lean too much either way. And so, you know, that's what we took from it. You know, Gainesville presents some problems, and so did Hughes. So, you know, in the Final Four, you better be ready to play state championship caliber football.
So then what are you the most confident about going in, and then what concerns you the most still that you're going to be working on up until the game there at Barron?
You know, I like our quarterback. I like our quarterback play. I like our overall team aura, or as much as how they play. I think they're in it to win it. They work well together. We've been together since really this process starts out in January, but you've been together with football helmets on since May. So I like that. I thought our kicking game until Jackson County was really good, and our kicker had a kind of a bad night. So I don't anticipate that happening again. And I think our defensive front's pretty good, so I like those things. Receivers are really good.
Coach, for people that haven't seen Rome play, how would you describe the type of football that you guys play? And maybe what are a few ways that you could communicate about what this team's identity is at this point in the season?
Yeah. I think in our 11th year, I think we have a way that we play almost every year, and we try to be really good on defense and aggressive on defense. And I don't mean with a blitzing game, but getting a key read and coming downhill quickly. We've been explosive on offense. We're close to scoring our 600th point. And that would be, I think, five out of 11 years or 6 out of 11 years of 600 points or more. So we score. And I think we're always good on special teams.
When you have a pedigree like you do, and you have a set way of doing things, how different is it a couple of years back, say 4 or 5 years, a class back, how different is it still trying to be as successful as you are as new kids cycle in and cycle in and cycle in? Or is it because you've been there so long and they get the messaging all the way back through middle school and they're ready to go, that the consistency is always there? How much juggling are you having to do with consistency, or because of that growth and having everybody there as long as they have, that it's the way that it is?
You know, in 2015 and 16, we built a system in which we have our kids from the time they're in almost 7 or 8 years old in Rome uniforms all the way through middle school. And so we do have total control of our coaching staff at middle school, and even we're involved with the youth to a degree as far as helping them. And so that's kind of built in between the lines. What you have to do, and I think what's been key to my success, is to not be afraid to make changes. And so we've made a lot of changes along the way in the way we may call plays, play, or do whatever. But the foundation of that tradition at Rome and the playing hard, playing tough, and those core values is all the way through. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Because I was just about the consistency of the idea. Mm-hmm. Because you know how you want to do things. Coaching in and of itself is different. Mm-hmm. The student athlete in and of themselves are different. But then you have to worry about your consistency, your program, the way that you've built it, with how things continue to adjust. Because coaching, I'm sure, is different in the last handful of years. The student athlete is different over the last handful of years, too.
You want that second grader, fourth grader, sixth grader, I'm going to go, 10th grader. We got them by then. But you want, when they go to the games on Friday, to dream about playing for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. And then you just find a place where they can play, and you get them as strong and fast as they can be, and work hard at practice. And that's kind of where we're at. And like I said, just don't be afraid to make changes.
Yeah. Coach, speaking of changes, the first two games of the season for you guys, they were losses, but they were against two teams that are playing for a state title, right? And Carrollton and Creekside, which is so cool. So what changes did you make after that second loss? Because you guys just ran the gauntlet after that.
Yeah, the biggest change, Nikki, is we stopped playing Carrollton then. Well, here's what I want to let you know. Going back is our organized team activity in July was against Jefferson and Gainesville.
Wow. Way
and
to go
then
easy.
We played Douglas County in our Jamboree. And then we played our first three teams we played are all currently in the state finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm kind of at this point in our career and our development over here, and knowing that we were going to be very young, especially on offense, and we replaced nine people on defense. Mm-hmm. We had two coming back and four offensive linemen. And John can tell you that is not a formula for playing all those teams. But what I did is I thought we might as well, if we're going to have goals of region championships and trying to make it to state, we might as well put their feet to the fire. And I guess that what doesn't kill you makes you healthier, I guess. So we got through that. We're proud to know that we play the teams that are still alive.
That's wild. That's a cool story. Thanks for sharing.
How hard is it to fill out a non-region schedule for you, considering what you've built over time? Do people sit there and they look at their caller ID and it says, John Reed, nope, not picking up that one. And, you hit that. How hard is it to fill out a schedule?
I think there's a certain, probably a dozen teams or so that have the same problem we do. And I think in some way, shape, or form, we don't always want to play each other to fill out all the region schedule. Next year, we're playing Carrollton, Tucker, which is a tradition, and Douglas County in our non-region schedule. Mm-hmm. And then we picked up Kell as our region opponent. So it's you just get what you get. But I tell you this much, it is difficult, and you make a lot of phone calls. And, it's especially when you're in a playoff run, it gets difficult because you got only so much time in the day to make those calls. And you get a lot of, we're filled up, and then those guys, you see them posting for games. I'm like, well, we're filled up except, yeah. And I think you guys will reiterate this, that the same type of people you would talk to, the Gainesville's and all that. Gainesville wants to play us and Buford and all that. So we try to not make it too far of a trip. So we're going to Carrollton and Douglas. So.
There you go. Well, you pick up the phone to make some calls, but you're going to have to give a message to your team. So on the other side of that phone call to your players this week, what's the message coming from Coach Reed to the players to get them ready for this game on Thursday?
Well, Nikki, I think this is one of the easier messages. Two teams are going to take the field, and one of them is going to the state championship.
That's easy.
And then,
yeah.
My other message was, and that's the easy, we always have a motivational every week. So it's a really good question. This one seems to be much simpler because the kids know, they didn't really know Jackson County. Our kids don't do very well when they don't know the name. Mm-hmm. They didn't know Jackson County very well. Mm-hmm. And I think they were a very, very good football team. This one, they know Gainesville. We went against them in the summer. And so that takes care of itself. You know, I think we talk always about LEAD lead. We put it on our helmets. Get lined up. Get your eyes right. Play the call. Attack the call. And destroy it. Finish the call. So we always stay with that message. And then once in a lifetime chance to get to the state finals. And then my message yesterday was, if you have to think of yourself as a state champion team to get through this game.
Yeah.
And what I meant by that was, if you're just trying to get to the state championship, you're not going to get there. You have to think of yourself as a state champion, a team that can win the next game to win this game.
Coach,
I hope that comes through at practice today. Ramp up the intensity at practice and the focus.
And what a cool opportunity. I mean, you said a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You get to host the game at home in front of the home team. I mean, what's the chatter in the community about? You might be all locked in on football, but somebody outside that building is talking about this is the coolest thing to ever hit Rome.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it a couple times. We did it against Stockbridge at 16 and Buford at 17. Mm-hmm. I hope that they bring the thunder. I know there's going to be a lot of noise of Barron and make it exciting for our kids. I think that ramps up the play. Just to be in the Final Four in this state in 5A or any classification, the football is so good. It's just such a tribute to not so much a tribute, but an honor to be able to represent 5A in the Final Four.
And I know full well that there are going to be folks who will not be inside the chain link there at Barron. And they will be camped out on that berm in the western end zone. Literally, you cross the street, and it ends up with that berm that's there. Folks will camp out on there, and you'll have, like, tailgating and everything that's there.
Yeah. Are you going to do a sideline hit from the levee?
Well, I mean, if the microphone can get to the levee, as Ambassador Jeremy, who went to Darlington, knows full well about what's going on. So, yeah, literally, that levee's there, the track is there, that berm is there, and so that's one of the cool places to watch.
It's going to make for a great, exciting, loud game.
Yes. Coach, we can't thank you.
I don't think you have levy credentials, John. I think you better stay away from
that. Wow. Okay, so, all right. So, what do I need to do to get levy credentials, Coach?
I don't know. I really don't. I've never been up on the levy. It seems like a lot of fun up there. I'm going to leave it at that.
John, I think you need a bigger truck and a cooler with lots of ice.
I think Ambassador Jeremy has it square.
That would be a start. I think that would be a start.
Yes, I think that's pretty square. We can't thank you because this busy week is a shorter week than normal. We can't thank you enough for dropping by and letting everybody know what's going on. It's going to be a special environment on Thursday. We're looking forward to it. Great to see you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Can't beat it. Georgia High School football is nothing better.
It's always fun to catch up with Coach. I mean, it's he is a master scheduler, tactician, or whatever you want to say, because I wanted to get into the whole idea about lining everybody up when he's mentioning second grader, fourth grader, sixth grader. That's what these programs do.
It's
when
wild.
they have that progression all squared away. So the terminology is the same. The offense is the same. The formations are the same. Coaches will walk up to you. You know, coaches will walk up to you in the grocery store, and doesn't matter how old you are, you'll know what they're talking about. If they drop a play call on you, you know what you're doing there in aisle six when you're trying to pick up your pound of sugar. You know what
your
the coach is asking.
Aisle.
Yeah, they're in the produce aisle. It's like, you know, it's like, so 37 rip lead on two. And then the sixth grader's like, yeah, I know what he wants.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's like, son, you need to go down the meat aisle.
Yes.
You need that protein.
You got to go down to the meat aisle, you know, button hook at the meat aisle. Grab a good steak on two, ready, break, you know. So
it's like supermarket sweep. You were always going for the butterball turkey, you know.
Yes.
You just got to think and act fast.
Yes.
What a cool storyline, though. I'm really excited for them. I feel like when they hit their good runs, I was here with GPB, but I don't think I necessarily covered them then. So this is kind of like my first time to really get to know him on that Final Four level.
And so I'm doing the math. 3, 6, 10, 13 championships for Buford, by the way, in 25 years.
Okay. How many did I say?
You said 19 appearances in championship games?
Finals. Yeah,
finals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Appearances, but championships were 13 or 14.
Championships, 13. So finals appearances, four, five. So they're 13-5.
So 18.
Yeah, so 18 championships since we turned, and the computers didn't break when we turned to 2000.
Okay, so my math was close.
Yeah,
13. Over under one's not bad.
Yeah, 13-5 is pretty solid.
Well, maybe it was how I was reading it would be the 19th appearance, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay, so we discussed 5A. 5A is going to be us on Thursday, then we'll know who the champions are there. Carrollton and Buford, we talked about 6A. We know what the last matchup's going to be. Remember, that one is on Tuesday night. That's going to be in the middle of the schedule, prime time on Tuesday.
Yep.
All right, so let's go backward. Quad A, Creekside, Benedictine.
The Tribe versus Cadets.
There's going to be a lot of points there.
That was fun catching up with Mo on the postgame show. That was the first time I think I've talked to him all season.
Tribe Pride.
Yep.
So Creekside, Benedictine, and that's going to be seriously, oh brother, that's going to be a lot of points.
So but Creekside's defense is so good.
I
well,
know.
Benedictine, they're going to be like, we haven't had this low of a number on offense all season.
I'm like, I think Cody is on the sidelines for this.
Uh-huh.
Halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
For me are going to be big because if the game is out of control so if you take your extremes. You get a lot of points in the first half. I want to know what the halftime adjustments were by Danny Britt and Mo Dixon to find out what it's going to look like in the second half. Do they figure each other out?
Yeah.
Or have they figured each other out at the beginning? It's a slow game, and then the halftime adjustments ramp everything up third quarter.
I'm really looking forward. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of them, but that one, the dynamic is what makes it interesting for me.
AAA, Jefferson and Sandy Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Creek, Umber Brown came over from Central Carroll a handful of years ago, and he is just,
put up a lot of
Darius
points.
Darius Smiley came up from Umber Brown is the current coach at Central Carroll, and Darius Smiley is left Central Carroll to go to Sandy Creek. So I was getting my Central Carrolls mixed together.
They've put up a lot of points, too.
Yes, Sandy Creek's done a lot of points, and they had to beat a region rival twice in LaGrange to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson, you talk to Travis Nolan, he sits there and he'll say, it's like, we're just a bunch of dudes.
I think he said that on the postgame show.
A bunch of dudes.
Just dudes doing football.
Just dudes doing football. See, now that's a t-shirt. We need that t-shirt.
Just dudes doing football.
Hateful Charter had to go to overtime to knock off Sumter County in Americas, and they...
Which that was like your Cinderella team this year with Sumter County.
Mm-hmm. And they had they were kind of Carver Columbus's kryptonite, the 11-8 game in the region play for the region title. So Hateful Charter, who is a Cinderella, with Winston Gordon as Team 12, they win at home. Then they go to Team 5. They win in Baxley. They go to Morgan County, win there. And then they go to Americus, win there. So Hateful Charter... South DeKalb County going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That ain't nothing for a road trip for the Hornets and Hateville Charter and Winston Gordon. That's going to be fun. But yeah, Carver Columbus, juggernaut. If you haven't seen Carver Columbus.
A Jarvernaut?
Juggernaut.
Jarvernaut.
Ah, oh, a Jarvernaut.
I was trying to make it work. I don't think it worked.
You know, I
take it back.
It might be a Jarvernaut.
Can y'all edit that out?
No. Class A Division 2, Bowdoin, Lincoln County, pedigree. Absolutely. So the back-to-back-to-back champs in Bowdoin.
No, did you leave? Wait, back-to-back-to-back-to. But this will be back.
Yes.
So this will be the fourth.
So they're back to go back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I feel like Chris Berman all of a sudden. I hope that he made it home at a decent hour.
For those that have no idea what we're talking about. So in our studio show, we have a post-game show after our Football Friday in Georgia Friday night game.
Yes.
And Coach Finley called into the postgame show, but he was in his truck. Meanwhile, he was driving how many hours back home? Four and a half after the game.
Mm-hmm. I hope that he either...
And he strikes me as the type of guy that...
Power through it.
Yeah, but also that doesn't need caffeine.
Oh,
like, I have a husband that looks at me and says, caffeine's for the mentally weak. I could hear Coach Finley saying that.
Right here. Mentally weak. That's me.
But I could hear Coach Finley saying that. Like, I could see him not needing caffeine to get home. Just pure adrenaline.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be amazing. But, yeah, two of the great pedigrees in small classification football in state, Bowdoin and Lincoln, in Class A Division 2. Class A Division 1, Toombs and Worth.
Mm-hmm.
It is, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Worth County's got to beat the man. Toombs County, your defending champ.
Yes.
They went to Heard County and took care of business there in Franklin.
Yeah, they won 40-14.
Worth County, they in Sylvester... Coach Hammond, they've done a great job to get to this point. They've been top ranked, and Toombs has been top ranked, depending on whichever poll you pay attention to. So it's the man and the one that wants to be the man. And then in private, Calvary Day over Fellowship in the semi, left-hand side. They take on Hebron.
So obviously we were doing our game.
Yes.
But lots of friends were at that game, and CJ Givers got a touchdown for the Paladins. He's going to Duke next year. And that touchdown gave him, he was the all-time scoring leader now, I think, at Fellowship. And after he got that touchdown, they just couldn't generate their offense anymore after that. And Calvary Day ran away with it, just punched him in the mouth.
Great work by Jason Cameron and the Cavs to get to the last game of the year. I'm going to turn and go this way.
But then they've got to beat Hebron.
Yeah.
That is consistently good.
Kenny Dallas and what they've been able to do there is take over for Jonathan Guest, plug and play.
That's right.
Let me turn this way, and I want to ask everybody on the other side of the glass. So who do we have? We got Marky Mark. I think we have President Reagan. We got Ambassador Jeremy. Do we have anybody else? Just the three of you. Okay. So when it comes to the championships, what are you most looking forward to for the last games of the year? But we will be back the Friday after the championships to put a bow on the entire season. We're just not going to be here this time next week. So Marky Mark, I believe so. Wait, Marky Mark did not take the microphone first. Oh, Ambassador Jeremy, you're going to go first?
I suppose I can go first.
Sure.
So what I'm looking forward to most, too. There's going to be some really great football.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, honestly, like, phenomenal football. The quality of football that you're going to see at the Benz next week, some of it will be better than some of the college ball games.
Well, okay.
Like, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's a yes, and I feel like this year so many title games are evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting because sometimes it doesn't always end up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we have some really good evenly matched up title games.
Yeah.
And then there's a second thing that I'm looking forward to, and that's because since GPB airs the games and you can watch them on all over
excellent
GPB's
plugs,
products,
sir. Nicely done.
I can get a free pass to go, and there's always like food stocked in the little sweet thing where they have our seats. So there were some really great cookies there last year that I'm hoping they were like cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake cookies. So
do you know where we're gonna be posted up at the Benz? Is all I'm saying. Yeah. A little doggy bag would be appreciated.
I mean, I know where y'all are gonna be,
great.
And like it's a long
great.
Way
done.
To get
so
between
good.
The two.
But awesome.
We can
thanks
find
so
somebody.
Much for stopping by.
Yeah. You see. Yeah. Because. Nick and I are basically heavy fueling our way through those 3 days. I lose 10 pounds. I'm not kidding.
Well, I'll eat some cookies for you. It'll
as you
fine.
Should.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. All right, so Marky Mark or President Reagan, what else are you looking forward to? Don't everybody speak up.
I mean, I'm personally going to – I'm on Jeremy's side. I'm there for the food.
See?
That's what matters most to me on that.
See, smart man. See, you got your good snort laugh out of Nikki. Nicely done, Marky Mark. That's good job.
We have the two number one teams in the country playing, and they're excited about food.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I
you wouldn't be. Like, what are we talking about here?
Great food and great football. I'll get behind that. That's
yeah.
fine.
If you eat the cookie, cheer the football, it'll be great.
It's going to be great.
You see how this goes?
It's going to be great.
And President Reagan, President Reagan, what do you have in mind here once again to... Yes. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
I would say just the energy in the Benz. You know, you feel it from the players. You feel it from anyone watching and us broadcasting the game. It's a good feeling in there.
Absolutely true.
It's the best.
The vibe.
It's the best. Like, I feel like... I love that Reagan said that because... You know, to have the honor to cover a multitude of sports, mm-hmm. Nelly, you as well, from high school to professional level.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said it before, and I will say it again, and I will look directly in the camera saying this. There is nothing that compares to high school football in the state of Georgia, because most people are going to be watching these children play on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall. And then 3 years later, they're going to be seeing a good percentage of them playing on Sundays. And it's just a hotbed. As a mother of a son, these women are feeding their little boys something when they're in these feeder systems in Rome and in Buford and Carrollton. I need to get their recipes because they're growing some good football players.
And the wife of a Georgia high school football espectacular tight end.
Oh my gosh, listen, I talk to my mother-in-law all the time about, like, my son, he's six, mm-hmm. and eats, I mean, he is an endless pit, But my husband, Michael, yes, he played tight end at Parkview and then played in the league. But his mom would make him four sandwiches every day. Two for lunch, two for after school, just to get him to practice. And then when he came home, then he'd have another meal. Four was the standard every day.
That's a lot of sandwiches.
That's what I got to prepare for. And I only have one boy.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see how this continues to prep. So once again, quick reminder, 7:30 air, Gainesville at Rome, Thursday. Thursday across all the GPBs, GPB, GPB.org, GPB Sports app, all the social medias, all of them. That'll get your semifinals squared away in 5A. Then you'll know the finalists after that on Friday. And then from then on, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, like I said, nothing from us early in the week because we're going to be like right outside gate two or inside gate two at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're going to be kind of busy. Everybody here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, you're going to see a credit roll of like 11 gazillion people.
That do all the awesome things.
And that's what it takes to make those 3 days one of the great spectacles that you'll see on television anywhere here in the country.
And it started now. Like, it doesn't start the day of.
No.
The preparation has been going on and on and on.
We already prepping.
Yeah.
We got conference calls with coaches and everything. Yeah. But we're looking forward to seeing all of you at Mercedes-Benz this time next week to determine the champs here in 2025. So one more game on our air to get you to that. And that's wall-to-wall football Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Was it 15, 16, 17? Yeah, 15th, 16th, and the 17th. And we'll be back on the 19th to cut our last Football Fridays podcast of the year, because then we got to go buy Christmas presents because we will have forgotten to do so 100%. Up until that point. So for Marky Mark, for Ambassador Jeremy, for President Reagan, I'm just John.
No, you're Nelly, and I'm Nick. And Nelly.
There you go. It's another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We're out. We're heading to the Benz. Actually, we're heading to Rome. Then we're heading to the Benz. We'll see you next week.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.